in and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you're anywhere within the sound of my voice, then you need to be in Anderson, in Greenville, coming up this coming weekend because the Bassmaster Classic is here. I got my good friend Geddes Brannon is in the studio with me again. Geddes, thanks for making the drive up.
Well, thank you for having me on, Roger. Yeah. We did this way too many times over the cell phone.
Man, it's fun having you in the studio. But yeah, the Bassmaster Classic is going to be in town. Just a huge deal in the bass fishing world, a huge deal in the economic world. And we're really privileged to have Mr. Bruce Aiken, CEO of Bass, on the line with us. Mr. Aiken, thanks for taking a few minutes to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Roger and Geddes. I saw y'all just a couple of weeks ago. I was like on a little media tour up there, so it's good to reunite over the phone.
Yes, sir. That was a good breakfast. And speaking of that breakfast, and I know we have this in common, and we talk about it every time we're around each other, but I heard a name I had not heard in probably 25 or 30 years, and that was Ernst and Winnie.
Lower county firm, right.
Yeah. I mean, when I was coming through school, there were eight of them, and I hadn't heard Ernst and Winnie in forever.
Yeah, I think that's Ernst and Young now, that went on to that. And I guess there are four of the big eight left. It's big four now. So yeah. I did a little accounting stint back in the early 80s out of college at Alabama, and I was in Birmingham, and then and then I went on to, work for Time Inc. after that. They published 7 Living and Cookie Light, and then landed at Bass back about 6 years ago.
Yep. That was pretty fun. It took me way back to college days to hear that. So, you come into Hartwell this year. This is the 50th anniversary of Bass. Man, as far as an organization bringing bass fishing to Main Street, USA, Bass has really done a good job of it.
Yeah, we have. It started in 1968. Of course, Ray Scott founded Bass back then. This is the 50th year. And sometimes it's confusing whether it started in 67 or 68. I think there was a tournament in 67, but it was formally organized in 68. So we're celebrating all year this year, the 50th anniversary of Bass. And there have been a lot of great things that Bass did. I think there really wouldn't be an industry today if it weren't for Bass. There wouldn't be a Bass Pro Shops if it weren't for BASS. Mm-hmm. And you can go on and on and on with the catch and release, the Clean Water Act that we're very involved in, and then of course putting tournament fishing on the map, on television, on ESPN, and really probably when the Elite Series started in 2006, it really just escalated from there.
Yeah, it's really has, and I guess you could almost talk a little bit about how Bass is responsible for the rise in high school and college fishing, too, because it's kind of trickled down. You hate to see trickle down too much, but, yeah. You know what? When you were at breakfast the other morning, you mentioned that 2015 was the first year that Bass Live was on.
It was. Yeah, and it started at the Greenville Classic on Lake Hartwell. 2015, we launched it. We were actually kind of nervous to see if the technology was going to work, and it worked beautifully, and it's just grown since. I think we were looking at, we had like 13 million minutes viewed or something like that on Bassmaster Live that first year, and it doubled to like 26 million in Houston Classic last year. And we expect increase from that this year, next week when we're there.
And I tell you what, that was a great production value for it. The first year for Bassmaster Live to debut that Casey Ashley, the hometown favorite, won in 2015. Yeah. Another thing that happened.
It was cold, too.
It was cold.
That's what I was about to say. Another thing that happened in 2015. This is the coldest classic on record, and anglers were finding a new use for coffee, pouring it on their trailers to get their boats off.
Yeah,
and that presented us to move the classic forward. Bruce, how have you seen the classic change? Does it change with different time periods? I know at one point it was in the summer.
Yeah,
and, mm-hmm. and now
right.
it's
yeah. It was in summer till I think 2006 or so, and then it moved to the winter. And it's kind of become a place that people launch new product. Consumers can come to the expo and see that. But then also we moved it, moved to the third week of February, roughly. Through the years, we found, as we moved to the Tulsas and all, didn't think it would happen in Greenville, but the weather, became treacherous. It snowed 1 year in Tulsa. So we started looking at getting it into early to mid-March to help with the weather some, but it was also to get off Daytona. We were on the same weekend as Daytona.
Sure.
And then also Miami Boat Show the week before. So for our boater sponsor, they only had a one-week turnaround. So they really, appreciated us moving it back a little bit too, and that was another reason to move it as well.
And speaking of making something fan-friendly, they have the expo to go to. They're going to have the launch. People don't realize how much goes behind this bass fishing tournament. We spent the day in Anderson a couple weeks ago and really got to see what goes behind the scenes with Visit Anderson and Greenville. And I saw a report this morning that it's a projected $23 million economic impact on the state.
Yep.
And coming from the state of South Carolina, and Alabama's much of the same way, we don't have a major professional sports team. An impact like this for a sport or an organization to bring in is tremendous. How have you seen the Classic and fishing change over the years economically?
Yeah, I think, attendance at the Classic has grown. I know in my tenure, we were, as a point of reference, in Birmingham in 2014, we had, I think, 90,000 people or so. When we were there before in 2010, there were 60,000 people there, so they'd grown 50%. And, last time we were in Greenville, we had 105,000 or so people there. We've, been over 100,000 the last 3 or 4 years with the Classic, and people are coming to see, the takeoff out at Anderson at Green Pine Landing. Then they're coming to the expo. Some people come multiple days on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the arena weigh-in. We fill that up certainly on Saturday and Sunday nights, and expect to fill all three nights up this time. And then, but the economic impact, and that's just from the week of the Classic. We say it's 22 to 24 million generally in most markets, including last time we were in Greenville. But that doesn't even count the lasting impact.
Sure.
Where people plan their vacation and come back again and again and again because they're exposed through live, the television coverage, the magazine coverage, and all people, from all over the world really, see, Hartwall and showing out and the great places go in Anderson and Greenville. And they want to come there and bring their families and, spend the week fishing where the pros fished.
Well, being a lifelong South Carolinian, I welcome anybody who wants to come and visit and fish. And we're really privileged. This is the third year of the Classic's been on Lake Harwell. I was there in 2008, watched Casey win it in 2015. I'm excited for this year. Thank you for bringing it here. Thank you for the impact on fishing through bass. And I look forward to seeing you here just in a few short days.
Yeah, well, I'll be going up Tuesday.
Okay.
Driving up. And I do want to thank people, from Hartwell, Anderson, Greenville, all the hospitality and the great organizers they are. Because if it weren't for that, we would be coming back as quickly as we are as well.
Very good.
So just wanted to give a shout out to those folks.
They do a great job around here. Mr. Aiken, thank you for being on Woods and Water South Carolina.
Thank you for coming on, Bruce. I will see you next week at work.
Yes, sir, at work. Thank you, Mr. Aiken, and we'll see you next week. back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. None of these guys that are in town right now know how to drive 55, do they, Gettys?
No, they don't.
55 is like a no-wake zone for them. But, yeah, Gettys Brandon is back with me. Glad you came through the break. And we've got another great angler on the line. He's the 2017 Angler of the Year on the Elite Series. He's from Idaho, and we're going to ask him about that. But we got the prodigy, as he's known when he crosses the stage, Brandon Palahniuk on the line. Brandon, thanks for taking a few minutes and being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, first question out of the box. How does a guy from Idaho get to be a bass fisherman?
Well, I grew up just kind of fishing for everything when I was a young kid. And when I was 8 years old, I actually had a family friend that fished local tournaments around Idaho and kind of the Northwest region. And he took me out on a bass boat for the first time when I was 8 years old. And pretty much from that day forward, I decided that this is what I wanted to do for a living.
Wow. That's
And ended up qualifying through the Bass Nation in 2010.
Yeah. And what award did he win on the Bass Nation?
Brian Kershaw Memorial Trophy.
Yeah.
And he came out of the gate swinging in his first Bassmaster Classic.
He did.
You finished fourth, correct?
I did. That is correct.
And then you had a second place finish on Grand Lake in 2013. So you've made the Classic every year that you have been eligible to qualify, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, this will be Lake Hart will make number 8 for me.
Right. It's how did you finish in 15, Brandon? I forgot to look this up.
Well, let's just say if you started at the bottom, you'd find my name a lot quicker than if you started at the top.
You know, somebody once told me that the professional bass fishing is the most losingest sport. I guess that's a word there is. You know,
I would completely agree with that. Yeah, you're going to lose way more than you're going to win, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
And last year you had some significant monumental things that you reached for the first time in your career. One being the Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year, and then you won at Sam Rayburn as well. But you started the year at Okeechobee, and after I think you were in 12th at Cherokee, right?
Yep.
And then at Okeechobee you had a pretty humbling finish to be able to win the Bassmaster Angler of the Year last year. How does momentum play a factor in bass fishing?
Man, that was such a nice way of putting it, a humbling finish.
You like that, didn't you?
Yeah. You just go ahead and say, I finished 105th place out of 109 or 110 guys. So, yeah, appreciate the nice, kind words there, but it was a struggle, you know, because coming off of a 12th place finish, that was the best start I've had to a year. And looking forward to kind of the later part of last year, I knew that if I could just be in contention to win Angler of the Year, that I'd have a really good shot because we're going up north to a lot of fisheries that I've done well on in the past. And then going to Okeechobee and finishing 105th, you know, I felt like I'd kind of blown my chances at winning an Angler of the Year a little bit, just because nobody had came back from that far before. So I guess, you know, if I'm going to hold a record, I'll gladly hold the record for winning Angler of the Year with the worst finish at 105th place.
Well, but that's the cool thing about bass fishing and a lot of other sports is that what you did last time really doesn't, you know, tell what you're going to do next time. And proof you can recover from a really bad day on the water.
Yeah, and I did, you know, and I had to have some fortunate things happen, you know, throughout the rest of the year where, you know, maybe some of the guys that were close to me had one mediocre tournament, maybe not that bad, but, you know, mediocre deal. And then I had to have some really good things happen as well, you know, like winning at Sam Rayburn helped a lot, you know, and having some really good finishes up north toward the end of the year that kind of catapulted me up there because I only won by 14 points. And when you think over the course of 9 events, 14 points really isn't that much.
No more than a point per tournament.
Oh, yeah. And people really don't realize how good you have to be to win Angler of the Year. I mean, it is every tournament you have to be consistently doing well. And Brandon had 2 third place finishes and also, of course, his first place at Rayburn. You know, how does that transition into the next year? I mean, what are your sights on for this year?
Well, the way that my brain works, once I've won one of them, I think that I should win it every single time.
That's just natural.
Because, like, I've proven to myself that I can win at that level, or I can win Angler of the Year, be consistent. The hard part is doing that in the day to day.
Right.
And so what I mean by that is, like, every single day you have to perform, and there's so many things that are going on. You know, things you can't control, things you can't control, and it's such a mental game that, you know, staying on that level 2 years in a row, or, you know, just year to year, or even week to week, can be extremely difficult. And I think that's the toughest part, right? You have a great year last year, and then literally everyone just, you know, as soon as it's over, pretty much everyone starts right back on the same page, and it's even new venues, new bodies of water, new decisions to make.
Hartwell is going to fish a lot differently this time around. You know, we're sitting here, it's rained for the past 2 months. I think Hartwell right now is down about a foot. Looking at long range forecast, you know, you're in the 60s and 70s. Is that going to be, and I've heard a lot of people, I just like your opinion, is this going to turn into a shallow water slugfest?
My opinion and my gut instinct says yes. I think that it's setting up about as good as you could set Hartwell up. You know, you look at, we had a full moon this last week, a few days ago, I think.
Yep.
And I've been watching the weather, and you've had a mix of sun and clouds and, you know, kind of a mixture of different precipitation and things coming through. But the temperatures have stayed pretty consistent. They've stayed kind of in that upper 50s to low to mid 60s.
Yep.
For about 2 weeks.
Yep.
And so when you start to get that stabilizing weather, longer days, full moons, it's just set up to be a really good shallow water event. The thing is with Hartwell is you have such a big body of water that spreads out across a lot of different types of cover and structure.
Yeah.
That you can have a lot of different fish doing different things. And then you throw in spots versus largemouth, and where the spots are getting big enough to compete with the largemouth in Hartwell, it kind of opens up a lot of doors for guys to do different things.
Speaking of that, do you prepare differently for the Classic compared to a normal event, with it being a 3-day event? What goes into preparing for the Classic on such a large body of water?
I think for me on the Classic is I probably do a lot more mental prep toward the Classic than I do anything else. And a lot of that is like just getting my mind focused, right, and trying to kind of get everything out of the way that I can and take care of as much stuff beforehand, so that week I can focus on the Classic. And there's so many other things that happen that week. You know, usually we'll go visit a children's hospital or something on Tuesday, which is something that I love to do every year. And then we go and we've got media day, fan meet and greets, and you've got, you know, Night of Champions dinner. So you've got all these other things that are packed into Classic week that are good things to do and things that I love doing, but ultimately they're still taking focus away from the fishing side of it.
Speaking of Night of Champions, I look forward to hearing your spiel this year. You have some great speeches to live up to, like Aaron Martin's and Gerald Swindle. So this will be interesting.
Well, I always like to ask you guys that come on the show and all, what does Brandon Polinick do in the off season? What's the fun thing you'd like to do?
I absolutely love to go hunting. But the last few years, I haven't got to go nearly as much as I'd love to do, or as much as I'd love to go. And I really enjoy just fishing.
Okay. Right?
Because you would think, like, a guy that makes a living, quote unquote, fishing would get to go fun fishing all the time. But most of the time I spend on the water is either practicing,
sure,
fishing a tournament, or filming something for some type of sponsor. And so it's not very often that I get to actually just go on the water by myself, no cameras, and just fish. And that's really important. I think a lot of guys lose sight of how important that is to actually just go out and enjoy fishing.
Yeah. That's, I can only imagine how busy you guys stay, because most of us only see you, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you're kind of off the radar until the next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I understand that perfectly.
And I'll tell you, Brandon told me at Martin, he said, man, I'm going to be in South Carolina for 2 weeks. We'll have plenty of time to go fishing. And earlier we were talking about it. He's like, I had to get on an airplane and go to New York for a boat show. Now I have like 2 days maybe to fish, and it's raining today. But that doesn't ever stop you. But one thing I want to ask you, if you had three names on the leaderboard other than Brandon Pollinick,
needs to make it quick.
What 3 days would that, I mean, what three names would that be for Lake Harbor?
I would say Jordan Lee, Seth Fighter, and probably Jason Christie.
Interesting.
I've heard one of those names from somebody else. Jason Christie.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. Well, Mr. Pollinick, I appreciate you taking time off to be on the show today. Man, we're looking forward to seeing you out on Lake Hartwell. Looking forward to seeing you around the area all week. And, you know, it's a wide open game, and I wouldn't mind seeing you walk across that stage on Sunday.
Hey, I would love to be there on Sunday, hoisting up that trophy.
It'd be a good one.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, sir, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yep. Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's been a great show so far. Have enjoyed having Geddes here with me again this week. It's neat having people co-host in with studio with you, and he's brought some great, great names to the show and some great guests. And we're joined by another one. Do you want to say icon of the industry when you talk about Mike Iaconelli? But we got Ike on the show with us, and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you coming on here with us. We had to track him down. He was out fishing in this pond.
Had to get his wife to run him off the water.
Yeah, I'm home for 48 hours total, and I'm trying to smash everything into 2 days. It's hectic. Very hectic.
Yeah, you guys have an incredibly hard schedule. I was mentioning earlier in the show that, you know, spectators, we see you guys, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you're on the winning side of a tournament, you're on there through Sunday, and we kind of lose track of what you guys do during the week. But y'all are traveling for sponsors, boat shows. You got, I mean, your schedules are really, really, really busy.
It's insane. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, the bigger your career gets, and the bigger you build your brand and your business, the more busy you are, and less time you are at home. You know, so. But we're lucky though, you know, we've got a business that's thriving, got a lot of components to it. And, you know, and I get to do something I love to do every day, which is fishing or talking about fishing. So it's busy, but you know, it's a great gig.
Well, since you brought it up and we're going to get to it anyway, one of the most visible ways you're out there for people that love podcasts and that sort of thing is Ike Live. Tell us a little bit about Ike Live.
Yeah, Ike Live is a cool little piece that we added, I guess, gone on 4 years now. And, you know, podcasting or live webcast was something that, you know, I'd be honest with you, I didn't follow a whole lot. But, you know, it's kind of a changing world, and it's a way that people are getting info. It's a way people are being entertained. And about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I was approached with this idea of starting this show. And, you know, the main reason I wanted to do it back then was to be able to keep in contact with people, you know, to be able to interact with my fans. And so that's kind of how it started. And, you know, 4 years ago, we had no idea what the show was. We just kind of turned it on and let it morph into what it is today. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, there's no rocket science going on in Ikeville. It's pretty simple. It's a bunch of guys that love to fish, that drink beer and talk about fishing. But, you know, I think what we do with the show is we try to dig a little deeper than just patterns and techniques. And we try to dig into people's lives a little. And we've been fortunate to interview athletes, celebrities, sure, entertainers, people from outside the hardcore fishing business. And, you know, it's neat. It's been a fun experience. I think people enjoy it. People get a kick out of it.
Oh, they do. I just want to know, is the Stormtrooper still looking for some droids?
Absolutely. Stormtrooper, he's the troublemaker of the show. So he's always looking for something.
I can't believe it's already been 4 years. And that's one of Ike's many business ventures. Around the industry and bass fishing, a lot of people don't realize these guys have to wear two different hats, not only fishing, but they have to be excellent business people.
Sure.
And being able to learn from Ike and being able to learn and watch the way he approaches business is really a great way to do it. And you talked earlier a little bit about balancing the business side and the fishing side of it. As your career grows, how do you focus on that balancing act?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough balance. I'll be honest with you. I still don't think I have it figured out 100%. But, you know, I think everybody in life, whether you are a professional angler or you're an accountant or, you know, an attorney or whatever.
Roger's an accountant.
Please.
You've got to figure out what that balance is, you know.
Sure.
And for me, it's the biggest struggle just has been maintaining, you know, a normal family life, you know, and for me, what's helped is to have the family travel with me as much as possible. You know, as soon as the kids are out of school, we tow a fifth wheel and the family's on the road with me. And then, you know, outside of that, when they can't make it on the road, just using technology to stay in touch, you know. I tell you, things like FaceTime and Skype for me are lifesavers when I'm stuck on the road for 2 or 3 weeks, and really helps keep a little bit of normalcy in a crazy life, you know?
I'm sure, you know, I went off to college. It was no big deal. I was a boy and, you know, be home when I got home. But, man, I tell you, I got a daughter and sent her off to college. And, boy, if it weren't for FaceTime and texting and all that, you'd have one pretty unhappy papa.
Yes. I definitely understand that for sure.
Guinness wrote a great article about the streak and all. It's no secret you are in bass fishing, and I hate to say this, but the first few times I saw you rolling around on the front deck of your bass boat screaming your head off, I felt a little bit like I was in church watching somebody have an experience.
That's one of the better ways I've heard that described.
But I'm a diplomat. I'm an accountant. You know, I've had to break all sorts of bad news and call all people sorts of names. But it was a real nail biter for you to get into this one.
It was. It was, you know, I don't want to say it was a horrible year, but it was definitely a lackluster year for me. I had 3 finishes that were in the 80s, 90s, or worse. And, you know, typically in a season, 11 event season, where you have 2 of those finishes, you can count yourself out of contention for the championship. So, you know, it was a subpar year, but, you know, I did a few things toward the end of the season to put myself back in contention. It ended up being a hair short through points, and I ended up being, you know, the second guy out. And, you know, that's not where you want to be when the season ends. But, you know, the good news was that there was still a sliver of chance. There was an outside chance that I can make it in through some double qualification. So, you know, it was nail biting two or three weeks there. We had to sit on the sidelines and watch it unfold. But sure enough, the first guy out, Steve Kennedy, got in through a double qualification by Jesse Wiggins.
Right.
And then a few weeks later, I ended up sneaking in on the double qualification from James Elam down on Grand Lake. So, you know, it's troubling, and it's also one of those things where, you know, I gave myself a shot at that. You know, with three horrific finishes, hustling at the end of the year, pushing hard in those last three tournaments of the year, I put myself back in the position to qualify, and I did. So, I got to look at the positives. I was prepared not to make the Classic, but, you know, at this point, I'm back in.
Yeah.
It's a new year. It's a new tournament. And, you know, I'm focused on not just winning the Classic, but I'm focused on having a stellar year in Bass and, you know, shooting for an AOI, you know?
Yes, sir. And, you know, I always enjoy interviewing you and getting to write a piece on you. And you said in an interview with you that Lake Hartwell is a special place to you. It has there's just some places that you just get along with. Coming back to Lake Hartwell, where you've had two top 10 finishes in the Classic, how did that play a factor in it?
I mean, that's huge. I mean, I can't explain it. You know, I don't know the right way to explain it, but there are certain lakes in an angler's career that they gel with a lot. And there are other lakes that, you know, that they don't get along with. And Hartwell for me has been one of those gel lakes. And, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, maybe the clear water, maybe the versatility of a lake like Hartwell where you could do 10 things in the course of a day. Maybe it's the combination that it's got large enough end spots. You know, something about that lake clicks with my style of fishing. So that's exciting. My success there is exciting. But what's different is it's a totally different time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to remember, you know, you can't go back there and move on history. So, you know, as much confidence as I have, I've got to go back and really relearn, you know, what that lake's all about, especially in an event that's going to be more of a pre-spawn event than a wintertime event.
You know, back in 2015, we got just a couple minutes left here. You had a rider on practice day, Cathal Kelly, is from Canada. Do you remember him?
I do. I sure do.
You know, he showed up because we rode the media bus down to the lake with him that morning. He showed up with nothing more than a windbreaker, and everybody remembers what Wednesday practice was like. And I think you put the boat in the water a couple times, and he wrote a great article. Did you ever read his article he wrote on you?
I never wrote the article. I heard it was a great article. I'd love to get my hands on it, but I do remember. I remember the day, and I remember he showed up, and he showed up with a really light jacket on the day that was probably, I don't know, below freezing.
Yes.
And I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, man, where's your jacket?" And I'll never forget the answer he gave me. He said, "Don't worry, eh? I'm Canadian." All right, get in. And sure enough, he was freezing by about the first
stop. That's it. Well, look, we're out of time, but, man, it's great to have you back in South Carolina. I'm glad you made another one. Look forward to seeing you around next week, media day, and then out on the lake. And who knows, it's anybody's ballgame out there.
Okay, guys, I appreciate the time. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Ike. We appreciate it.
Sir.
Bye, guys.
Yep, bye.
When you are done, lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And I specifically wanted to end the show with this segment and this guest. And he is not South Carolina wayward son. He's a jewel to this community. And has become a great friend over the last few years, and that is your 2015 Bassmaster Classic champion, Casey Ashley. Casey, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Hey, we're going to get to a little bit of fishing stuff, but as always when I talk to you, we got to get to the important stuff first, and that is, do you have a turkey ready for you after the Classic is over?
You're not going to believe this. I had to leave the house about an hour ago to go to run some errands, uh-huh. And there was one strutting in a field less than a quarter mile from my house. Just tears my nerves up. I hope they're not gobbling when we're practicing at Hartwell, because my nerves will be, you know, my mind won't be in the game.
It won't be. It's funny you say that, because I had to take my daughter to get her wisdom teeth taken out this week, and coming back from the doctor's office, there's a road, and it's got, you know, broom straw in it, you know, yelling about 2 feet tall, and there were three gobblers out there. The only way I knew there were gobblers is because they were all fanned up, and you can see the fans over the broom straw, and I was like, well, I bet Casey's having a hard time right now.
Yeah, it's tough on me. It really is.
I need to get in on some of this turkey hunt you're talking about.
I'm not in on it. I mean, you know, I watch from the sidelines because I must not be a very good turkey hunter, but I got in Casey's truck last year at Conroe and to pull him out of the water, and there's like 8 turkey calls laying on the dash. I was like, where is this guy's mind? He's fishing the Classic, and he got all these turkey calls, and you told me you were trying out some new turkey calls for somebody. How'd they work out? You like them?
Yeah, they work pretty good. Yeah, sure do.
Very good.
I buy new calls. It's about like fishing lures, man. You just got to keep up with the latest and greatest. But, you know, I'll probably have one. I promise you I'll have one in my boat during the Classic practice. It's the best of one if I figure it. So if you've got land anywhere around the lake, you know, your bird might be call shy if he hammers down at me.
We'll be calling him down the lake. Oh, this is great. Just please don't fall to carrying a shotgun on the boat. Okay,
because no.
Well,
I wouldn't fish.
That's exactly
I'd have
right.
That strap, I'd have that gun strapped down instead of a rod and reel.
Hey, when you turkey hunt, do you like a blind, like a ground blind, or you just like to run and go?
No. Run and go. I don't even carry decoys most of the time. I do have them, but I don't use them.
My boss Steve Bowman tells us that turkey hunting out of the blind is about like cheating.
Oh, is it?
Well, that's like deer hunting. That's no fun to me.
Okay. So you got to be out there with him, huh?
Yep. If he's not gobbling, I'm not messing with him.
That's funny.
I don't like to sit down and kill them silent birds, you know. I like to be able to interact with them, you know what I mean? If you could talk to a fish, which one would you rather fish? You know, there's old gal trying to hit on standing over at the grocery store. If she don't talk to you, you ain't going to talk to her, are you?
No,
You want to talk back to you.
Sure.
That's the way I am.
Well, yeah. That's like mallards then. You know, I like to duck hunt because I can talk back and forth to them. I understand that.
That's right.
That's right. Yep. I just never have gotten into turkey yet. Wrong time of the year for me. You know, I have no life during turkey season, so probably that's why I don't turkey hunt.
Oh man.
Well, I know we were all hoping for another cold and you know, just gut it out fishing tournament, but man, water's up. It's going to get warm. And I read your article the other day, Swing for the Fence. Is that what it's going to be for you?
That's what everybody's going to be doing, you know, and that's kind of the mentality you've got to have going into any Classic. It doesn't matter if it's on your home waters or not. It's just, that's the only wrench thrown into plans is when you know a lake so well, it's hard to just go in open-minded and swing for the fence, you know, practice that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, the worst case scenario for me would have been, you know, warm weather, high water, and that's exactly what it's done. And all that does is just, it evens the playing field.
Sure.
You know, we're fishing against 50-something of the best anglers in the world. And you turn them loose on a body of water that's got as many fish in it as Hartwell does, they're going to catch them, buddy. I mean, they're not just going to go out there and beat around and have 14, 15 pounds. They're fixing to show you what lives there. And you've got to keep up with that. And that's, you know, it's hard for anybody to do. That's why I'd rather have a tough tournament than a slug fest any day.
Sure.
Speaking of that, this year, you know, talking about the water rising and the temperature rising, you know, in 08, Charlie Hartley caught 21 pounds the first day. In 2015, Dean Rojas caught 22 pounds the first day. And none of those tournaments, you didn't really see that big of a bag back up. And I believe both of them were fishing near docks. And you see that at Hartwell, where those shallow water bags aren't usually able to replenish for a three-day tournament.
Sure.
Do you see this year being differently?
Yeah, just because of springtime, you know, and it's still all the fish are, I'm sure they're in between right now because, I mean, heck, I know they were spawning at Lake Murray week before last.
Oh, wow.
So it's warm. It got warm there, 70, 75, for about 2 weeks. You know, rained a bunch, water came up a lot. And when the lake rises and it gets warm, everything happens all at once. It kind of throws those fish, you know, for a loop. They don't know. Their biological clock tells them it's not time to go, but the water temperature tells them, you know, to go.
Okay.
But those big fish, man, they know when to get up there and when not to get up there. And these last few weeks have been cool, and it's going to stay that way all the way up until the event.
Right.
So it just kind of depends on if the weathermen are right. It's still going to be pre-spawn, and that's going to set up good for everybody, man. I'm telling you, you're really going to see what Lake Hartwell has to offer.
You know, you were... In the article you wrote, or the blog you wrote for Bassmaster, you were talking about spectators. You know, it's no secret that you're the hometown favorite. You're going to be covered up with spectator boats Friday, you know, from the get-go. What's, for anyone listening out there, what's the number one thing that you'd like to see the spectator boats do on those first days?
Well, that's one reason I wanted it cold. Because you're fishing more open water.
Right.
So now that it's warm, you know, a lot of guys are going to be fishing shallow, probably me included. If you go into a pocket and you've got 25 or 30 boats with you, obviously they're going to stay behind you.
Okay.
Well, I may only want to go back there and fish 50-yard stretch or a couple of docks or whatever, and I'm going to want to run out. Well, if they're all lined up out across the deal, I've got to idle all the way to them and through them to get out. You know, so if guys are going to follow, it's just going to slow you down. I mean, there's nothing they can do. They know. They're there to support you. They're there to watch. But the only thing you tell them when you're ready to leave, just make a gap. You know, I can get out. Okay. Yeah.
And it sure is a circus when they have those that many spectator boats behind them. And speaking of spectator boats being the hometown favorite, and for the listeners that don't know this, the tournaments actually have off-limits period and no information period that the anglers cannot receive information until the official practice period. Casey, with this being so close to home, how hard was it for you during the no information period to kind of ward off some of the local knowledge everybody just want to talk about fishing?
Oh, man, it's awful. I mean, my daddy's a big-time fisherman, you know, and we just can't talk fishing. Hasn't been able to since Hartwell come out on the schedule, you know, because you can't talk to anybody. The rules are not the 30-day deal anymore.
It's, right.
You can't get any information, period, until it's over. So, yeah, I'm ready for it to be over with. You know, that's not like everything me and Daddy talk about, but, heck, he taught me everything I know. We grew up fishing.
Sure.
I mean, that's what we do. We talk fishing. So,
yeah,
that's been kind of aggravating. And I'm glad it's in the early part of the season more so than some of those guys that's got to wait all the way to the end, you know, because I'm sure a lot of them's in the same situation I'm in.
Yeah.
And speaking of your dad, he made a bait for you and gave you a bait in the 15 Classic that really dominated the event. Do you see any particular baits? Could you see one bait play a huge factor in this role?
No, it's going to be a junk fishing deal. You know, crankbait, centerbait. I mean, you're going to be able to catch them any way you want to in this tournament. It's just going to be a matter of who finds the right area with the right size fishing, you know. And you may see top five, one guy may be fishing dirty water, one guy may be fishing deep clear water. You know, they're neck and neck in the running, you know, as far as what they're catching. And you may even see some giant bags of spots weighed in this tournament.
Yeah, that's true. Spots are going to play, I think.
And Casey, he has a new shaky head coming out of the Classic.
There you go.
And you knew I was going to bring that up.
I knew they was going to bring that up.
We got a new shaky head coming out. It's something that, you know, everybody knows me. I like to fish shallow. I like to throw a jig, you know, but you don't always get to do that.
Right.
And, you know, the shaky head's kind of where I turn when it gets tough, or you got that one fish that you know where it is. I mean, I'm not scared to throw a shaky head on 8-pound line to a 10-pounder. Biggest fish I've ever caught weighed 11, 14 in California, and it come on a shaky head an 8-pound test line. So, you worry about getting them on before you can get them in. That's kind of my motto.
Yeah, and they can pick those up at the expo at Greenfish Tackle.
Okay, please. That's Greenfish Tackle thing. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming out. I was going through some old pictures the other day, and I was actually out on Hartwell in 2008 with my then, let's see, it'd be 12-year-old daughter in my flats boat, and came across a picture of a very young Casey Ashley on the front deck of his chatterbait wrapped boat.
Uh-huh.
That was fun.
That's probably 2008
yep.
Classic picture there.
That's yep. It. Yeah, y'all.
You know, that seems like yesterday, but it's really been 12 years ago.
I know. Hard to believe.
Time flies, man, when you're having fun.
That's exactly right. Well, Casey, look, there is no secret. You are the man that we want to see walk across Sunday and repeat. But, look, you're always going to be welcome here on this show, whether you give us another win or not, huh? How's that?
Hey, I'm going to be trying just as hard as everybody else, I can promise you.
Well, we appreciate it, Case. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thanks for coming on, and we'll see you a lot this week.
Thanks, you guys.
See ya. There you go. Geddes, thanks for coming in and being on the show with me.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure as always, and Bassmaster Classic sure is going to be fun.
That's it. You guys get out there and be there. I'll see you next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine?